9. As the opening tercet suggests, the most important of these is through light. Okay? Dante uses light in all kinds of interesting ways in the Paradiso, and to rather spectacular effect. He starts with, it's there throughout. It's there throughout, but in the circle of the sun, what we see is the sort of starting point for a rather spectacular light show, that is to say, formed by the spheres themselves. Dante looks, and what he sees is really a spectacular kind of light imagery pattern. And that continues at the beginning of each new sphere. And it seems to be a way of talking not only about the illumination that is, Dante's sort of increased capacity to see things, but obviously also an increased inner capacity to see, because those light shows are almost invariably followed by a fairly lengthy, either philosophic or theological discourse. In other words, what happens is it's almost though the light show kind of prepares Dante to see more than he was able to see before, and then the new discourse is only possible. The new discourse makes sense because he has the capacity to receive it. So what happens in the middle sections of the Paradiso in particular is that all of this increase of vision is a way of preparing him for the final vision at the end of the poem. At the end of the poem, the pilgrim has ceased learning in this way and is able to actually become a part of what it is that he's seeing, and to undergo a process of what he calls earlier on transhumanization, that Dante is taken into the vision of God. One way of taking a look at Paradiso is a gradual series of preparations for that final activity. And that's really the way in which the poem comes to a climax. Now, once again, what we're going to do is look at selected cantos or groups of cantos, and the two that we're going to spend the most amount of time on turn out to be fairly close to the middle. One is the circle of the sun, the other is what comes immediately after that, the circle or the sphere of Mars. It's kind of interesting to see what happens before that. First of all, he gets to the sphere of the sun, the end of Canto 9, the beginning of Canto 10. In Inferno, that's when he went inside the city of Dis, right? In Purgatorio, that's he went into the gates. Remember, Bill talked about the gates of Purgatory previously. Here, it's not quite so obvious, but what happens is that now he's outside of the shadow that the sun casts down toward Earth, okay? So that the spheres of the moon, of Mercury, and Venus are said to be within the shadow that the sun casts. That being the case, as Bill pointed out, the souls that we meet there turn out to be souls who are presented to Dante in terms of those qualities that they lacked back on Earth, that they're not the superstars. Once we get to the circle of the sun, in fact, we get pretty big superstars. In the sun, we're going to see figures like Thomas Aquinas, Francis of Assisi, St. Bonaventure, and a whole host of others. So that things change here, and again, a sense in which one part of the comedy prepares you for the other, that in each, Canto 10 is a movement to a new level, a level in the depths of hell, on the heights of the Purgatorial Mountain, and now finally going outside of the sphere of the sun into the more unexplored part of the cosmos, if you will.
By looking at the experiences Dante has in the sphere of the sun, I think some things will perhaps become clearer. First of all, there's going to be a very clear and obvious symmetry for us that we're going to see, because what we have is two circles, each of which contains 12 great theologians/thinkers. And therefore, we're going to see how those two complement each other, and it's going to be a kind of study in patterns, in symmetry, and in harmony. Obviously, very important thematic ideas that run throughout the entire Paradiso.
Yeah, in fact, it's very interesting to see how Canto 10 begins. There's a kind of direct address to the reader. Occasionally, the poet will do that when he has something important that he wants you to sort of focus on. He says, reader, down here on Earth, look up at the spheres and contemplate celestial harmony. and contemplate, he sort of gives a little lesson in celestial mechanics and talks about how the various circles that are made by the planets